Hey, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to this week's message. My name's Aaron, and I'm on the staff team here at Eastlake. Everything we do around here depends on the generous donations of our local and online community, people just like you, who tune into these messages and see great benefit from living that idea that life is a gift and love is the point. So if you love what Eastlake is up to, we'd encourage you to contribute by going to eastlakecc.com. With that, let's jump into this week's message.
I'm excited today. You get to hear from one of my favorite presenters, one of my favorite speakers here at Eastlake, because Kristen thinks about what she's going to say before she says it. Can you imagine what that would be like? I can hardly imagine. So she's going to close out our series on deep belonging. Will you welcome my friend, Kristen?
That is true. You don't think very much before you say things. It's really fun to work for you. Well, good morning. Welcome to Eastlake. I'm glad that you guys are here. My name is Kristen. I'm going to be honest, I had a little bit of a rough weekend when it came to sleep, so I'm a little bit intrigued to see how this whole double service thing is going to go for me today. On Friday night, my 10-month-old woke up at 3:45 crying, and I was like, well, gosh, William and Harry are just getting to the altar. So, of course, I had to watch the royal wedding live. I did not go back to sleep. But I was like, it's okay, I'm not speaking tomorrow. I'm speaking on Sunday. So last night, my baby wakes up at 2 a.m. screaming. This is kind of like par for the course for her. At 3:30, my husband wakes up, and he's like, fire! Oh, my gosh, fire, smoke! Where's the smoke coming from? And I was like, what is happening? Well, he was having a dream, which I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but my heart was pumping like so fast and I got kind of mad. And then my daughter woke up again at 4:45 and would only sleep with me sitting with her. So I've essentially been awake since 2 a.m. This is going to be interesting, guys. I'm glad you're here. We have been in a series about belonging, deep belonging, actually. And I don't know about you, I have loved it. I was a little like skeptical at first when I saw the like art for the series. I was like, oh my gosh, what are we talking about, space? Like, I just don't know how this is gonna go. But I've been surprised by how much I liked it. When Jason Lewis opened the series talking about belonging to ourselves and how before we can belong to anything else, we really have to know who we are. Peter's message about belonging to family is actually one of the most helpful I've heard in a really long time. I forced my husband to listen to it because we have a podcast now, and there's no way he can avoid it because he drives a lot. But it's been really helpful for us. We're still talking about it. I adored Bart Campolo when he was here, and our own Kyle Reynolds, who just spoke so beautifully about his own life. I'm still not quite sure what Steve McIntosh said, but he had some pretty cool slides. I remember that. Ryan, of course, tried to ruffle some feathers last week, talking a little political. This whole week, I haven't been able to stop thinking about the video that we showed at the beginning of the service last week. It was narrated by Julia Roberts. And at the end of it, she says, "Nature is ready to evolve. Are you?" And it's just been like sitting with me all week. My guess is if you go to Eastlake, unless today's your first day here, even if today is your first day here, the fact that you got here probably shows that you are not new to evolving. Because that's what we're trying to do here. Help each other evolve, help each other let go of unhealthy theology, help all of us move towards health in all areas of our life, to learn and grow and change, and to connect with other humans who are trying to do the same thing. The whole point of this series has been to remind you that you are and you always have been a part of something bigger than yourself. We were built that way. It's a core part of who we are and how we have evolved as a human race. We are not meant to be, nor are we alone. But the interesting thing I noticed when I was looking back at this series about the previous speakers is they all talked about our sense of belonging in arenas of your life that generally are not of your choice. Yourself, your family, the earth, the infinite. And today I want to wrap up this series talking about actually an arena of your own choosing and therefore your own power. and that is your community. Who you surround yourself by, who you join together with. And more specifically, I want to talk about this community, Eastlake, and what it means to find deep belonging here. Most of you, hopefully all of you, are here today out of your own choosing. Unless you've been bribed here, which is still kind of choice, or if you're on a date with someone who you think you might actually really like, and so you're like, yes, I'll go to church with you, you still actually chose to be here. And I want to ask you, why is that? Why this place? I want you to think for a moment. Why are you here today? Why are you listening? For whatever reason, you're choosing to spend about 80 minutes of your week with us. Maybe 100 if Ryan's talking. But you're choosing to be here. Sorry, it's true. Even when you do announcements, we go long. But every choice we make has power. And there's power in your choice to be here with Eastlake. And Eastlake is an interesting choice, if you haven't figured that out already. Maybe you sense, or maybe you have experienced, that we are a little different here. We're trying to do something different here, something unique. We aspire for connection, for deep connection, but not in the same way as many other places that are also called church. You've probably heard us say this 1,000 times. We are a community that does not gather around dogma or agreed upon belief. And this is different. This is not what people expect from a church. And it takes a while to figure that out, even though we say it every weekend. So what are we aspiring to connect to? What does it mean to belong in this community if it's not a set of beliefs about God and the world? That's what I want to talk about today. Most people, when they first come here, they want to know, what is it that we believe? Sometime within the last 2 weeks, I got an email from a woman and she said, hi, I'm wondering if you have a statement of beliefs. And so I wrote her back and I said, hi, it's nice to meet you over email. Here's a video that we have that we play. It's on our website. It kind of shows who we are. And this is also a page on our website that we have that explains kind of what we're trying to do. I hope these are helpful. Let me know if you have any other questions. And she wrote back and she said, so your answer is no. You don't have a statement of beliefs. And I was like, okay. So then I wrote her and I said, well, no, we don't have a specific thing called statement of beliefs. And then I never heard from her. And I think because of my role here, my role as a staff member and as a member of the leadership team, many people want to know what it is that I believe. But mostly they want to know what Ryan Meeks believes. So many people want to know what Ryan believes, the founder of Eastlake. And they ask me. They ask other staff members. I mean, God bless his wife, Michelle. I'm sure she gets it all the time. Not very many people want to actually ask Ryan what he believes, but they want to ask all of us, hey, what does he think about this? And while it's impossible for me to try to articulate what someone believes, and so now I have a good response that I like to use now. When people ask, so what does Ryan believe about this? My new response is, well, actually, I don't know. I haven't talked to him today yet. Because it's true. And I mean for that to be funny, both now and when I say it to people. But it's true. It's actually true. If we're honest with ourselves, and if we are actually pursuing truth, then what we believe should be able to shift and change as we discover more about the world and as we experience more of life. Any beliefs you have about something as big as the word God should be able to shift and change. Most people outside of a religious context don't have a problem with beliefs changing. It's called learning. The problem is that we call ourselves a church, or we used to. I don't know if we still, I think we still do. We'll see. We'll see if that lasts. Because people know of us as a church, they are very concerned with, and before they choose if they want to belong, They want to know what it is that Eastlake believes. I think there's a problem there. Brian McLaren said, "Religion, specifically Christianity, became a system of beliefs more than a way of life." A problem was created when that happened, when it became a statement of beliefs. Religion as it exists today is a system of what you know and think in your mind and gathering together with other people who know and think the same as you do. It's actually fantastic at creating community. Gathering with others who think and believe the same as you makes you feel like you belong. It works great for me as a University of Washington fan. On Saturdays in the fall at Montlake, man, I belong, I'm telling you. When I go to football games, I believe we're the best. I wear purple. I went to the school. I hate Oregon. I walk through the parking lot and I'm like high-fiving strangers because we're part of the same group. We're in. It's fantastic. It's fun. And it makes me feel like I belong to something. I'm a part of something. But I fear that church has become a little too alike with our sporting communities. We wear the same identifiers. We have the same definitions of success, and there are very few acceptable ones. Everyone else is either wrong or just not quite there yet. Anyone who is not like you becomes the enemy. They are wazoo. It's easy to belong if you believe the right things that make you a part of the in crowd. There are some problems with it when it comes to trying to connect with a community seeking out the infinite. First of all, I have some problems with that I want to share with you. But first, I'm going to say, I'm going to skip over the fact that we as humans think that we can even possibly contain all that there is to know about the totality of God within our finite human brains. I'm just going to take that idea and I'm just going to put it over there. But besides that, there are some problems. The first is that when I belong based on what I believe, if my beliefs or thoughts shift or change, then there's a chance and probably a high probability that I don't belong anymore. Secondly, when belonging is based on what we think or believe, needing to be the same, then the group doesn't really grow or change. The potential of the community and its members is stunted because there's nowhere to go when you have already arrived. And third, when I belong based on what I believe, that doesn't include all of me. When I belong based on what's in here, that's not all of me. What about my fears and my emotions? What about just my humanity, my faults, my gifts? If all of me doesn't belong, then I don't truly belong. Brené Brown is an author that we all love. We talk about her all the time. But she is also a qualitative grounded theory researcher. And she wrote a book about belonging and her research with it. It just came out. And after interviewing thousands of people, this is what she wrote about belonging. When it comes to belonging, I asked, what are people trying to achieve? What are they worried about? The answer was surprisingly complex. They want to be a part of something, to experience real connection with others, but not at the cost of their authenticity, freedom, or power. If you have to agree to belong, and you find yourself maybe at some point not agreeing, then you are no longer being authentic. And even if you stay, you're not truly belonging. What Eastlake is trying to be about, and what we think is a better reason for gathering as a community, is engaging our authentic selves together and then searching out beliefs and wisdom and meaning and truth and what it is that we're supposed to do with this gift called life. So if you're thinking, oh my gosh, okay, I get it. We're not about belief, because I know people have said that to me before. I do want to say, hold on just a minute. What I don't want you to hear is that beliefs don't matter, because they absolutely do. We're just not going to gather based on the thoughts in our mind needing to be the same. And I think the reason I'm talking today is because these are questions that come up a lot here. And I'm hopeful that this, that me clarifying this and talking about this can help people have clarity of vision of what it is we're trying to do here, because it is different. I'm hopeful that these things that I'm about to say can be part of like the DNA experience of Eastlake. Like, this is truly what it is about. So we gather and belong based on what our beliefs motivate us to do and be in the world. Your actions are not spurred on, though, just because of what you think in your head. What you believe in your head has to create a compelling motivation, and motivation moves you to action. So as I was thinking this through, I just had to line it up. It was belief turns to a motivation, which then spurs you on to action. What we are gathering around here is the action of love, but I think true loving action is actually inspired by a specific kind of motivation, and that is what makes Eastlake different. You know, I can act loving towards my husband. It could appear as loving to you. He might even interpret it as loving. But if my motivation is to get something in return or something that I want, it's not actually truly loving. And now this is a large generalization, but a lot of Christian churches, I think, have become defined by a system that looks something like this. Belief is that everyone is a sinner and God can't be with sinners. The motivation then becomes avoid hell. And the action, and again, I'm going off of my experience from growing up in an evangelical kind of Christian tradition, but the action becomes to love people to the point that they feel vulnerable and then inspire them to say a prayer so they can avoid hell. I remember as a kid actually growing up in this like Christian tradition, I remember sitting in big church. I don't know if you grew up, I don't know if you ever called it big church, but it was when you got to go sit with your parents before they dismissed the kids. And I would always like draw on the donation cards and not really pay attention. But I do remember multiple times hearing that idea of you need to say a prayer, you need to ask God to be in your heart. You need to ask Jesus into your heart. And I remember being a kid and praying and being like, God, I think I've prayed this before, but just in case, if you're not in my heart, would you please come in today so I don't die? And I remember doing that multiple times. I remember one time even I was like, oh, what if God can't hear my thoughts? And so I decided I needed to like whisper it out loud just in case like the presence of God was like in front of me. And I'm sure people noticed and they were like, oh, how sweet, that little girl, she's praying out loud. When inside I'm like, dear God, please don't kill me and send me to hell forever. Come into my heart now. Even then, the belief in my head was that God was loving. But there was also a belief in my head that God couldn't be with me. Both were true to me. But the stronger motivation became to spare myself from hell. And the action that was created was panicked, fearful prayer, and a fearful kind of life. Even as I grew older and away from like attending big church, I think I lived a pretty loving life, but the motivation was still fearful. The motivation was still love, because if you don't, then this is what's going to happen. You can believe a lot of things, but the strongest motivation will win out and control your actions. Here at Eastlake, we want to be defined not by our beliefs, but by what those beliefs motivate and what action is spurred on by it. Our beliefs can be different, and they are vastly different in some cases. I hope you've noticed that if you've been here for this series. The speakers come from a wide variety. You can tell by the way they talk. They think different things about Jesus, God, the Bible, politics, worldviews. But we hope that our motivations are similar. And we definitely know that the action needs to be the same, and that is love. We will always be pushing for loving action, loving response here as this community.
Well, hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Eastlake podcast. This is Ryan with a quick interruption. We'll jump back into the message in just a second. Once again, just wanted to say thank you to so many of you who are continuing to contribute. Many of you who don't even live anywhere physically near us. There's no geography that unites us. What unites us is this growing awareness that life is a gift and love is the point. And this crazy dream of cultivating a community that doesn't center around theological or supernatural agreement, but instead says ultimately a community of people who journey towards becoming love, that could actually make a difference in the world. So thanks for being a part of that. Thanks for contributing. If you haven't yet, but you find these messages helpful to your life, consider making a donation. Just hop onto our website, eastlakecc.com, and you can make a one-time or an ongoing donation there. So thanks for considering that. Thanks for listening. I hope you have a great rest of your week. Let's jump back in with the message.
What I want you to hear is that when it comes to beliefs, here at Eastlake, you're going to find, most of the time, probably not all similar. When it comes to motivation, I'm really hopeful that we can be close to the same. And when it comes to action, this is where we're going to be together. We're going to be loving, and we're going to try to help the world be more loving too. For some of you, if you grew up with an evangelical background like I did, and you're a part of this church, it could look like this. Beliefs, Jesus. Your motivation, still Jesus. And your action is love. And that's great. That's fantastic. I don't want you to change. We don't want you to change. For others, it could look like beliefs are, you know, the cosmos and the universe and how everything is going together. That's what your mind is taken up with. And so the motivation with that becomes wonder and awe. And because of that, your actions are still loving. That's great. For others, your beliefs may line up more with like the teachings of the Buddha. And your motivation becomes a peaceful self and a peaceful world. And your action is still love. We talk all the time about being a beneficial presence in the world here. And that, you guys, is the key motivation to being a part of Eastlake. And we think with that desire, we can both do and be love in the world. So wherever you are at today, I want you to know this. If you can be moved by the idea of being a beneficial presence in the world, then you can belong here. I myself, in case you're curious, I know some of you are because you have asked me, and this is my time to share, so I'm just going to tell you. I myself, yes, I still believe in Jesus. That is to say, I have thoughts and beliefs in my head about Jesus, and they motivate me to try to live that kind of life, to be a beneficial presence in the world through attempts at sacrificial living, authentic love, and trying to see people for who they truly are. I don't need to sing songs that have his name in it for that to be a reality. I don't need messages on Sunday to have quotes from him in it every week for that to still be the motivating factor in my life. I come here to be inspired to live that kind of life, the Jesus way. That's why I'm here. My guess is that you come here for somewhat similar reasons, to be inspired to live that kind of life too, because of, or maybe in spite of, the theological thoughts in your head. The reality is that true belonging does not come from what people think in their minds. My deep belonging in this community doesn't come from what I think in my mind, and my community is not based on what other people think in theirs. I don't know what Ryan Meeks actually believes. I can see you this Saturday. But no one inspires me more to live a loving life, to cultivate a deep love for individual people and the human race in general. No one has taught me better. So I don't care what Ryan believes. I don't know what Peter Gadd actually believes. But Peter has shown me more than anyone else what it looks like to be open-handed with faith, trusting and committed to truth. I don't care what Peter believes. I don't know what Tom Noble actually believes. But Tom Noble would do and has done so many things for my family. I don't care what Tom Noble believes. I don't know what David Lunsford believes, but no one puts more beauty and truth into the world than David. I don't care what David believes. I don't know what Heather Lewis believes. But no one has been a better friend to me over the last 6 years. And I don't care what she believes. I can't see. It's okay, I don't need my notes for this anyway. I don't know what Amy Olsen believes, actually. But no one has walked through my life with me like she has for 20 years. I don't care what she believes. I don't know what Jake Rutenbauer actually believes. But no one has taught me to be more open, to question, and to be okay with being uncomfortable. I don't care what Jake Rutenbauer believes. I don't know what Jonah McKee actually believes. But no one exudes peace like that man does. And so I don't care what Jonah believes. I don't know what Leah Harris actually believes. But no one is as welcoming and honest and unassuming as she is. And so I don't care what she believes. I could go on and on. Those are just the people who do this thing full time with me. I could talk about the other staff. I don't care what Sarah Nienaber believes. I could talk about all the members out here that I know. Sue and Rick, I don't care what you believe. I don't know what you guys believe, and I don't care. This community, we belong to each other, not because of what we believe in our heads, but because of how those beliefs motivate us to act in the world and to each other. I don't care who believes in Jesus, the Bible, chakras, the cosmos, God, energy healing, or Winnie the Pooh. I just don't. What I care about and what we care about here is what those beliefs motivate you to do with your life and what they propel you to do with the humans who are in your life. To many people, that doesn't equal a church. Fine. Don't call us a church. Just call us Eastlake. But I'm here to confirm what we've been saying for years, what it says on our website, and what you will hear if you talk to any staff member here. Anyone can belong here. It's definitely not for everyone, but anyone can belong here. And for many of us, it's our only option. Without Eastlake, church is not an option. Now, as our approach to this has changed over the years, and it has, we're different now than we used to be. I will be honest with you, it was hard for me. It was hard for me to navigate these changes and this understanding of like, okay, so what are we doing then? I had to break away from my like church equals agreement paradigm. And I had to retrain myself. I had to retrain the way I thought about what it is we're doing. My husband and I had some really intense conversations along the way. I would come home and we would be talking, and we actually had, I think we said this line, when will it be too weird? I would come home and I would be like, Ryan said this today, and I would like be in a little bit of a panic, like, I don't know, if I don't think that, do I have to quit? Am I gonna quit? What are we gonna do? And we had these conversations because this was hard for us. We've never seen anything like this before. And we talked about, like, well, if we're not sure, then do we stay? And the reality was, and what we just landed on, was these are our people. We belong here. And I've truly come to feel like I understand what it means to not gather based on what you think. And the other part of that is, too, is that we've been active about making sure we remember this is not the only place where we get our spirituality. And I hope that's the same for you. I hope you go out and listen. I hope you visit other churches. I hope you read things that aren't on our list of recommended books. I hope you listen to podcasts and find music that speaks to you. And all of those things, because your spirituality can't just be on Sundays anyway. That's had to be something that we've been proactive about. And if anything helps you along your journey, then good. We don't own you. We never have, we never will. You are free to do whatever you want. And if Eastlake is helpful, then we're so glad that you're here. But I'm hoping today that you can think about your place at Eastlake and as a part of this community. And I'm hopeful that I can put an end today to, does Eastlake believe this? Does Ryan believe that? What does the leadership team think about this? Not because we don't have beliefs or thoughts about those things. All of those things we do. And we like to talk about it, actually. Ask us. But what we want to be clear about is that we're not drawing lines in the sand beyond all of us coming together to try to reflect back to one another that you are the light of the world. So now let's go out and try to be light in the world. Let's come together as a community often, not every Sunday. No, we're not going to come every Sunday. But let's come together often. Let's learn and grow and change as we listen to challenging ideas, as our buttons are pushed by the things people say. And we can laugh, and we can walk out of here, and you can say, I do it all the time, that was weird. I think that what they said was weird today. That's okay. And then let's go out and love the world. When I was working on this message, I had it in a Google Doc, and we get feedback, and Ryan wrote this to me as just a comment, and I wanted to share it with you. He wrote, "War and strife aren't going to be solved by more exclusivist theology clubs. We don't need more of that. Eastlake is trying to model peace in diversity of belief because that's what the world needs." It's actually hard, this kind of gathering. It's so much easier to be surrounded with people who think the same way you do, who tend to view the world in the same way. It is easier to draw lines in the sand. It's easier to draw lines in the sand about dogma and doctrine. It's easier than being open. It's definitely easier to gather around a shared dislike for people or ideas. It requires less conversation, less learning, and less grace. But we are committed to continue doing things the harder way, with more conversations, more learning, and more grace. We're going to continue to make mistakes. It's okay. It's okay for you to disagree and say, I wish they wouldn't have done that, or I wish they would do it this way. And we'll probably at some point say, like, oh, I'm sorry. You're right. We should have done it that way. That happens all the time here, just so you know. But we're going to keep going with more conversations, more learning, and more grace. You know, when Bart Campolo was here a couple weeks ago, he said something that, like, made me catch my breath. He said his faith died the death of 1,000 cuts. I literally think I almost burst into tears when he said it, because it hit me that I used to define myself by what I believed. I was a Christian. I knew the way, the truth, and the life, and I was in. I spent Saturdays being in at Montlake, and I spent Sundays being in at church. The only thing that changed was the jersey I was wearing. But when my faith began experiencing the death of 1,000 cuts, the definition of who I am also felt cut down. With the death of certainty, salvation, atonement, and being in, it cut down who I knew myself to be. But the thing that was so unique about that process was that as my beliefs were questioned, or as they changed or shifted, and as some of them died, I still felt like I belonged here. More so, actually. Because turns out, this community loved me, not my beliefs. I was talking with an Eastlake member a few days ago, and they drive over an hour to come here when they come on weekends or they listen online. And I asked her why, and she said, oh, we need Eastlake. So many people need Eastlake. We need to be reminded that we are loved. We need to be reminded that we are good. And we need to be reminded that we are enough over and over again. I do think that's why people come here. And I think that's why you're here. In this frenzied, stressful, hurried, honestly, sometimes scary world, we need to be reminded that who we are is enough. That we have a place. We have a place within ourselves, within this world, our families, the universe. And we can choose to be surrounded by people who will recognize and love our true, authentic selves. Brené also wrote in that book, she talked about the difference between fitting in and belonging. And she said, true belonging doesn't require you to change who you are. It requires you to be who you are. For you to find true, deep belonging, you need to be known and accepted by others, not for what you think, but for who you are. Not for what you think, but for who you are. I think you can find that here. You can find it in other places too, but you need to find it. Community is vitally important. Your choice of which communities to be a part of, it matters, and it's powerful because people reflect back to us who we are. We see ourselves through, and we become defined by the people we surround ourselves with. So as this series comes to an end, I want to challenge you to figure out where you're known and where you're accepted, where you truly belong. And run to that place. Run to those people, your people. Figure out who are they, where are they, and go there. Pour yourself out with and to them. Would you stand with me? As we wrap up, I hope you have enjoyed this series. I'm thankful that you are here today. I hope you understand a little bit more clearly what it is that we're trying to do here. And I do truly hope that you will think about and find where you belong and where you can be your true, authentic self. Thanks for being here. Have a great week.